Introduce yourselves, tell us why you're running, and how you're qualified for the office.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for having us. Thank you for arranging these forums. Thank you, folks, for coming out tonight. My name is Sean Mahan, and I intend to be the next Story County Sheriff. I believe I have the knowledge, skills, and ability and leadership traits to lead this sheriff's office in a new direction in our challenging times. I have a bachelor's degree in psychology, finishing summa cum laude, 3.97 GPA. I'm currently finishing a master's degree in science, which I intend to use for public service. Worked over a decade in adult corrections, supervising multiple staff members in highly stressful situations and thousands of inmates. I understand behavior, I understand people. Law enforcement is a people job. Lastly, I've worked for the Story County Sheriff's Office for over a decade, in which I've committed myself to an ongoing process of improvement by my actions. So I'm asking for your vote November 4th. Thank you.
Good evening. Thanks, everybody, for coming.
Okay, we'll try it again. Good evening. Thanks, everybody, for coming out this evening. I'm Gerald Antonaro, and I'm here for your support to be reelected as your Story County Sheriff. A little about me. I have 30 years of law enforcement experience, over a decade of that on the administrative side of things. I have a master's degree in management, and I have a master's degree in psychology. I'm a graduate of Northwestern University School of Staff and Command. I'm a graduate of the National Sheriff's Institute, and I'm also an executive board member for the Nevada Sheriffs and Chiefs. Now, during the course of the night tonight, you're likely to hear how I've squandered a budget, how I've put the citizens and the deputies at risk by buying substandard equipment, any number of things. The fact of the matter is, there's just nothing to support. 4 years ago, I stood before you, and I told you then I was going to be fiscally responsible. I have actual budget numbers that demonstrate I have done just that. 4 years ago, I told you I was going to be fair and impartial to everybody in the county, regardless of who they were, regardless of where they lived. I believe we've done just that, much to the dismay of some people. I also told you I was going to build partnerships throughout the public and private sector to enhance the services we provide. I believe we've done that also with other law enforcement agencies, with private organizations, both in and out of Story County, and with the individual people of Story County. So I stand before you now asking for your support and asking for your vote in November to return me to this important office. Thank you.
Okay, folks, in the interest of time, if you could hold your applause until the end of the debate. Appreciate it.
Hey, Sean, first question. What challenges do you foresee coming from the Tesla project and its impact on the River District?
Well, it's been, as what's been pointed out this evening, Tesla is a monumental occasion for Story County and the state of Nevada. And I don't believe we have the luxury to have this infighting and backbiting and hate-mongering. We're at a precipice here in Story County, and we need to come together collectively and move on to the future because of this challenge. Here in the River District, you're going to have immediate needs with law enforcement response. Response times are going to be limited from people from the officers in TRI getting to your house for emergencies. That's going to be a number one priority. So we're going to have staffing issues. In the short term, you're going to have housing issues. Painted Rock has a development being planned, and so you're looking at housing issues. So in the long term, you're going to need strategic planning. And tonight I brought in the back of the room, I have a 5-point leadership transition plan, which I believe will propel us into these challenging times. And within that is a multi-year strategic business plan to incorporate for these challenges. Thank you.
Jerry, you have a minute to respond.
Overall, I don't believe that Tesla is going to have a whole lot of impact on the town of Butler. We will see more traffic. The market over here may get a few more customers in there. But we're not going to see a big impact. People are going to come out, they're going to go to work, and they're going to go home. 10 years ago, 12 years ago, when the park first started, wasn't hardly anybody out there. You look at the statistics from 10, 12 years ago to where they are today, there's not been a significant increase in crime. What you will see is increases in traffic. You may see a potential for increases of crime at the construction phase, and then, of course, anytime you have more people together, there's always the potential for problems. But with the completion of USA Parkway, you're going to have more law enforcement out there because that's going to be a state highway. And the state's going to be out there patrolling it. Commercial vehicle enforcement is going to be out there patrolling. That does provide more law enforcement in our county, provides more law enforcement in the industrial park. And like I said, the statistical evidence just is not there to support it. We haven't had a great increase in crime over the last 10 years. I don't think another 5, 6, 7,000 people are going to cause that big of an increase either. Thank you.
Sean, 1 minute.
Well, I think it's a pretty brazen comment to state that it's going to have little to no impact on us here in Story County. So I've reached out to surrounding agencies. I reached out to the Nevada Highway Patrol and the Washoe County Sheriff's Office, and I got their perspective on the impact of Tesla. And USA Parkway becoming a state route is going to be what the NHP has termed as the Bermuda Triangle of northern Nevada, and that includes Lyon County, Washoe County, and Story County. And also with Washoe County, they're looking for 22,000 to 28,000 people increasing residency. So those are going to be workers that come out our way. At least 6,500 workers are going to be commuting daily into our county. And there's going to be hotels, there's going to be new businesses, there's going to be increased traffic, there's going to be drug activity out of I-80, there's going to be increased crime. So you can't turn a blind eye to crime. And you can't conclude on something without statistical facts and collaborating with other agencies.
Jerry? Next question is yours. What is your perspective regarding community service as it relates to your philosophy and guiding principles in law enforcement?
I have two guiding principles or philosophies, however you want to term them. One is called Hill's Principles that were authored almost 200 years ago. In essence, it says the people are the police are the people. And that police are paid to pay specific attention to certain aspects of society. It also says that we incur favor with the community, not by pandering to them, but by providing fair and impartial service all the time. The other philosophy is broken window theory. In short, criminological theory that says if you pay attention to something and you treat it positively, that's going to bring up that around it. If you ignore it, then that's going to bring things down, and it'll cause further decay. So if you marry those two up together, when it comes to both people and property, is we take care of them. We've been taking care of them. We've gone way out there. We're doing things now we've never done before to make sure our citizens are being taken care of. And that's what we're going to continue to do for the next 4 years. Thank you.
My position on community service is my track record of over a decade here in Story County, reaching out to the citizens countywide, developing programs, managing programs, implementing programs, writing policy. This is what I've done for the last 10 years. I also believe with my philosophy that the county currently has a wonderful resource with Sherry Nevin, who heads up the Community Services Division. Within my 5-point plan, I believe that open communications and collaborative relationships are very important. And I commend the volunteers here in Story County for their efforts. And I intend on building that, streamlining it, making it more effective and less libelous for the county. Thank you.
One minute follow-up.
I guess I'm a little bit confused by that, because since I've been a part of the administration of the sheriff's office dating back to 2008, and since I've been sheriff since 2011, I don't know of any programs that my opponent has implemented or any policies that he's written.
Okay, Sean, this is your opportunity to ask Jerry a question.
In 2010, my opponent received surplus funds over $540,000 coming into office. He spent those funds in less than 3 years. And in the last 2 years, he's overspent the budget by nearly $100,000 each year. So my question revolves around fiscal responsibility and accountability, and not excuses, and not pointing the finger of blame as to why the funds were spent inappropriately. Including within this question is conservative estimates of approximately $200,000 in litigation currently within the office. So that amounts to approximately $1 million of unaccounted funds that there's no accounting for. So my question to the sheriff would be, and let me preface it also, folks, that I did bring a copy of the budget, the current budget funds, from the comptroller's office from a recent public records request. I brought plenty of copies for everybody in this room to have one, and I'm happy to hand them out. My question to the sheriff and my opponent is, where's the money?
Well, it's a good question, but it goes to knowledge and experience in these matters, because, well, there are some numbers here. You have to understand where those numbers come from. Now, I'm going to give you the 5-second version of this, and anybody who wants to go in any greater detail, more than happy to do that. The money he's referring to was not a surplus. It was an ending fund balance. That was an ending fund balance from the jail fund. The jail fund is derived from ad valorem, which is just a slice of the general fund monies that is specifically allocated for the jail fund. Now, I have all the numbers. And to cut out all the rest of the hocus pocus and just look at the actual numbers, look at what I budgeted. And you look at what was spent. I've not overspent my budget. I believe the lowest year, there was $65,000 turned back in at the end of the year. And I believe last year, over $100,000 was turned back in, which means I didn't go over my budget. The 1 year that I did exceed my budget, which was a bookkeeping error, was the purchase of the sheriff's office, and that was approved by the county commissioners. And if you take away everything that wasn't spent, because we didn't really spend $350,000 that year, it was just expense that way. It was actually only $50,000 spent that year. So if you look at the actual numbers, yes, I'm guilty. I went over my budget by $19,000. 1 year. I haven't been over budget, so I don't know where this is coming from. As far as the litigation that is being talked about, well, you know, employees have gotten fired, employees have been disciplined. It's those employees that are contesting it. Guess what? The employees are still fired. The discipline has stood.
Ladies and gentlemen, tonight you've heard a lot of things about what somebody believes. I have presented you facts tonight. To cut the red tape, there's the facts. And it's from the officials that run the money. So what somebody believes or what their perception is in comparison to actual factual data is two different stories. And I challenge everyone in this room to contact the comptroller's office to see if my numbers are accurate. And I don't believe my opponent answered the question as to where the money went. Thank you.
Jerry, you have another question? I did answer the question. Money didn't go anywhere because it hasn't been spent. It's a misrepresentation of the numbers, a misrepresentation of the budget. By all means, talk to the comptroller. Come see me. I've got the actual printouts of the budget that I can print out right there in the comfort of my office, and I'll show you the bottom line. There is not any 800,000, million, 500,000, whatever that number is missing, because it hasn't been spent, hasn't been over budget. Thank you.
Jerry, keep the mic. Your turn to ask Sean a question.
Okay, last week, and you touched on it tonight, is you commented about supervising in the prison, commented about leading men and women into battle on the main streets of Story County, and you commented on watching your dad run a business, so you know about all of these things, supervision, management, budgeting, things like that. Can you explain or correlate how those experiences have prepared you for the office of sheriff?
Ladies and gentlemen, to clarify what was said, that isn't exactly what I said. I didn't, the mean streets of Virginia City, I didn't supervise people there. I supervised people in highly volatile situations, require life and death situations, where key decision-making abilities were needed, on death row and lockdown within the state prison system. Just because a convict and a criminal is off the street doesn't mean they're somebody has to watch them. And I took that. And I took pride in my job. And as far as my dad, my father was worth over $1 million before he was 30 years old. He was an excellent businessman. He taught me those skills. So I was raised in a business atmosphere. And I myself have grade A credit. I have excellent financial skills. So the supervision and the business acumen definitely are in contrast to my opponent's demonstrated performance over the last 4 years. Was there one last part to that?
I guess so.
Okay. And within my five-point plan, I plan on creating a multi-year strategic business plan for the Story County Sheriff's Office to incorporate challenges that we're facing right now. Thank you.
Jerry, you have a minute to respond.
I guess the only thing I would point out that supervising a correctional facility or any correctional facility is a controlled environment. It's a lot different than supervising employees. In a prison, you tell inmates what to do, and they do it. It's a controlled environment. It's a lot different than how you interact with employees. As far as learning something through osmosis, my dad was a police officer. He was a cop for 20 years. I rode around with him a lot, hung out with him a lot. I still had to go through the police academy, and then I still had to learn how to do this job once I became a cop. I didn't learn it just by watching him. Thank you.
One more minute.
Well, that's true. That's absolutely true. My opponent's correct there. However, managing a budget through osmosis is very similar here. Your taxpaying dollars have been misspent for the last 4 years, and it's been very irresponsible, and you as the taxpaying citizens should hold that elected official accountable for that. And whether you believe me or not, that's fine. Whether you like Tesla or not, that's fine. They're here. They're here for the long run. We need to change with the challenges, ladies and gentlemen. We need to work as a team. We need to be able to collaborate and communicate effectively. Over the last decade that I've served Story County, I've developed strong collaborations countywide with people. And it's about conflict resolution, learning how to overcome conflicts effectively and peacefully together. And that's what we need in this county right now, especially in our trying times. Thank you.
Next question is yours. Do you believe the Sheriff's Office is making the best use of its resources, deputies, vehicles, search, etc., within fiscal constraints?
I believe the Sheriff's Office needs stronger leadership in going to the county commissioners to negotiate funds for these trying times, negotiating funds for effective vehicles, not two-wheel drive vehicles, not designed for high-altitude mountainous terrain, getting appropriate equipment, not making knee-jerk reactions, being able to talk to people effectively. We shouldn't even be talking at this point about somebody not being able to get along with somebody else. These are your taxpaying dollars, ladies and gentlemen, and it's your public safety. That's also a risk. So, that's all I got on that.
Gary?
1 minute. Well, I absolutely believe that we're utilizing our resources to the best of our abilities. I like to comment about the cars. The vehicle that we're purchasing, that we've been purchasing, is the industry leader at this point. Since Ford discontinued the Crown Victoria, they've taken over as the industry standard. I checked a few years ago what our response time was when we had all four-wheel drives. And then I checked what it was with basically half our patrol fleet being the sedans that are substandard. Guess what? Our response time is the same. It was 10 minutes then, it's 10 minutes now. That's an average. So yes, we're utilizing our resources correctly, and we're utilizing them properly. And we can say all that you want, how I'm squandering the budget, but it's just not fact. Thank you.
1 minute.
Ladies and gentlemen, I believe it falls into liability and accountability. The vehicles that we have purchased might work great down here. What my opponent fails to tell you also is that there was over 38,000 of those very same vehicles that were recalled. They've been very ineffective nationwide in their service. So we need an all-terrain vehicle for the mountainous areas in the Highlands and Virginia City, and going down 6 Mile to Mark Twain. We don't have that right now. And we don't have open receptive acceptance of that idea from the current sheriff. It's his way or the highway. You have to look at public safety. And a two-wheel drive vehicle is not going to make it to the top of a mountain in the middle of a winter storm to save a baby or save somebody's life. That's the bottom line. It's not about response times. It's about being able to get there. And you need a leader in this agency that can make those decisions so you don't have to question them. You don't have to wonder whether or not the vehicles and equipment I purchase is effective.
Thank you. Final question, Jerry, to you. Earlier in the commissioner's debate, there was some discussion on autonomy. Along that line, can you explain the perceived conflict between the sheriff's office and the county commission, and what would you do, if anything, to resolve the differences?
Well, first is the word perceived. And perception is reality for most people, but you can't hold people's perception hostage. Now, have there been a little bit of dust-up between myself and the commissioners? Absolutely. But you're going to have that. We're different branches of government. We each have our own responsibilities. But here's the thing. When it's all said and done, when push comes to shove, we may argue about money, or we may argue about the way that things should be done, because we have our different perspectives. No different than anybody in this room who has a spouse or has been in any kind of relationship, you don't always agree. But when push comes to shove, the people of Story County still get their service. I'm a professional, the commissioners are professionals, and we come together to get the job done. Now, we may disagree on how to get that job done, the best manner to get it done in, but that's going to happen. That's our system of government. But we get the job done. Thank you.
One minute, Sean.
I can't begin to speak about the commissioners and how I feel they perceive things. I will tell you, as the next Story County Sheriff, I will work collaboratively and as a team member with other Story County agencies, including the commissioners. We need to work together as a team. That's not taking place right now. It hasn't taken place for some time. And My perceptions on that are it doesn't matter what my perceptions are. We have to look at facts. And right now we have a broken relationship with the Sheriff's Office and the Story County Commissioners. And that needs repair. And I believe I'm the man to repair that for you. I have over a decade of experienced relationships with people throughout the county, including many of the commissioners and Story County officials. I'm a team player, and I want to work well with the Story County team to propel us into these challenging times that we're facing right now. And my five-point leadership transition plan covers in detail how effectively I'm going to do that. Thank you.
Thank you. You have one more minute. Folks, you can't change the basic system of government. We have the separation of powers, the three different branches of government. It serves as a checks and a balance, and there's going to be disagreements. Sorry. It's the way it works. Now, if you don't want a sheriff and commission that are at odds with each other, good legislature. Do away with the office of sheriff. Let the commissioners hire a police chief that they can tell what to do, when to do it, how to do it. But as long as our system of government is set up as it is, there are going to be differences. But I'll still return back to the point I just made. When push comes to shove, we come together as professionals and we serve, we provide for the service of the citizens of this county. Thank you.
Okay. Sean, you have 2 minutes for a wrap-up.
All right. Thank you all for coming out tonight. I appreciate you sitting in these chairs. At least they're padded. In Virginia City, they weren't padded, so people were leaving very soon. Tonight, I know I really harped on the budget, but it's very important that you guys understand the facts of what's going on here. The facts are the facts. You can't skew numbers. You can't skew data. So please, I encourage each person in this audience to review the numbers from the comptroller's office. And I would also ask you to review the level of cooperation and communication between our current elected official and other county officials. And lastly, I'd ask you to look at the challenging times that we're under with Tesla and the demands that that's going to place on Story County and how we're going to address that. And I have a strategic plan, a leadership plan, to propel us into those times. So thank you for your time again tonight.
Well, thank you for coming, too. I appreciate you all being here. And my opponent is right. You can't skew the numbers. You can't misrepresent them, which is what's been done here. Don't just go and ask the comptroller for the numbers. Ask for the whole budget, not just what's been put off into some column, because that doesn't tell the whole story. Look at the entire budget, not just a few numbers, because they won't lie to you. And you'll see, I've not overspent my budget. And you're right, Tesla is going to change things. But the benefit I have over my opponent is I've been doing this for a long time. I've been projecting. I've been forecasting. I have spoken with other agencies around. That's what's going to have a minimal impact on Story County. Great on a regional basis. It's going to be a great boon to the state of Nevada, northern Nevada specifically. It's a wonderful thing. But as far as the actual impact to law enforcement or to your public safety, it's very minimal. I've been proud to serve as your sheriff for the last 4 years. I look forward to 4 more years. And I would ask you for your vote in November. Thank you.
Before we leave, I want to recognize a couple more people. Shirley Miller.
Yay.
Dennis, thank you for getting us set up. Thank you for access and getting her to us here. Again, I think Larry's out.